Turn, if you would, in the scripture to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the first chapter, that's where we'll be today. Jeremiah, the first chapter, verse 5. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Loving Heavenly Father, we ask that you would minister powerfully your word into our hearts. Move us, change us, help us, and give us a good understanding of what it is you think about what is in the womb. Help us to know how precious each one is to you. So I pray, Father, you'd lead me, you'd lead the listener. May we both respond to your word as we should. In Jesus' name, amen. Doing a short series on the family, on family matters. This one today is about choosing life. We are addressing a difficult topic today. I will say that I'm going to defend the unborn, and I will do so with passion and deep conviction sustained by the Word of God. However, I am sensitive and aware that there may be some here that in some way have participated either directly or indirectly in taking the life of an unborn child who is still in a womb. I will give you the hope and forgiveness that is offered to each of us found at the foot of the cross. It's a challenging sermon to me, not because I fear what someone might think about what is going to be said. That's not it at all. It's because of the subject that will be addressed and the emotion, the anguish, and perhaps the anger that can accompany it. Today, I'll be addressing an unspeakable evil, the killing of thousands upon thousands of the most beautiful and helpless of those among us. There's a silent cry occurring in our nation as we meet at this hour. On this day, October 4th, 2015, approximately 3,500 voices will never have an opportunity to be heard. And it happens day after day after day after day in this land. Those who are preyed upon are the most helpless in our society. It is a holocaust that remains hidden to many. But be sure of this, it's an ongoing evil and a demonic holocaust. Hitler and his wicked regime killed between 5 and 6 million Jews in their reign in Europe. But there have been 56 million children, babies that have been aborted since a disastrous Supreme Court ruling in 1973 we refer to as Roe v. Wade. Our nation has been stirred in the last few days as to what happened in the Oregon Community College, and rightly so, that made the news. But there will be 3,490 today that will never be counted or thought of. Those who name Jesus Christ as their Savior must stand for the unborn. Those who know Him, we must stand for the unborn. We are in a spiritual battle for the heart of our nation. We have become a people with no regard or respect or thought for that which is sacred and eternal. In this scripture today, I have noted three truths that ought to solidify the fact that we need to stand for life in the womb. These truths are noted from Jeremiah, the first chapter, verse 5, given to Jeremiah by God concerning him. He wanted Jeremiah to know, first of all, that he was created by God. Look, if you will, in the first part of verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Jeremiah was told that God had created him, and he's made in the image of God. Every person has been made in that image. In the image of God, he has intellect, emotion, and will. Every soul conceived in the womb has that. Every individual has that within them. Life in the womb is sacred. It ought to be a place of safety and joy, but it's turned into something else in this land. Every baby has a soul. They are eternal. I want to say right up front, I believe those aborted children are in the presence of the Lord. I believe that's where they go. When a person chooses to stop a beating heart, they're snuffing out life of someone made in the image of God. That's what they are doing. Our society looks at it as a right for a woman to choose. But I would say to you, choose what? To choose to do what? There is a person in her, and she needs to choose life. I want you to notice as well, he's saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. But God is saying, I formed you. The verb here has the idea to fashion, to shape, to devise. It has this picture of cutting or framing. What God is saying to Jeremiah is this, I've known you forever, Jeremiah. I've known you forever. And when it came time to make you, I did so exactly as I pleased. Since I created you, you are of infinite value to me. You're of infinite value to me. I'm the potter who shaped you and made you exactly as you are. David said something very similar. It's on the front of your bulletin, but I'd ask you to turn back to Psalm 139. This is a tremendous passage. David, in this scripture, in this psalm, is blown away with God being all places at all times and knowing all things. And he says in verse 13 this, Psalm 139, verse 13, you formed, speaking of God, you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. David says, in the womb, God saw me, he knew me, he made me. He had a plan for me that went beyond the womb. He knew my words before I spoke them. He knew my life before I lived it. He's formed by the hand of God. Back to Jeremiah. God says here that he formed Jeremiah in the womb, and so doing so, God's saying that what is in the womb is formed by my hand, and it is a person. It is a person. To consent to an abortion is to take that which is a specific masterpiece of God and eliminate it. The thought that what is in the womb is anything but a life is a lie straight out of hell. Some have said that what is in the womb is just a tissue, some unknown and unliving mass of cells. You know, if we are God's people, we must support life issues. And if we don't, who will? We as a people of God need to, and we should. God's view of the unborn is what is in the womb is a person. This is a person he created. This is a person he loves and has a plan for. The lie paraded by those who support abortion has been that what is in the womb is just tissue. It's not a child. You know, I praise God for the advances in technology that allow us to peer into the womb and what is taking place in there. For instance, we now know that a baby's heartbeat begins at 18 days from conception. 18 days from conception. In 21 days, the heart is pumping blood through a closed circulatory. Now that is before most women know that they're pregnant. We must remember that what is in the womb is a child specially created by our God. Something else he wanted Jeremiah to know, thinking of this thought, I formed you in the womb, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, is this, that he's intimately known by God. God knew everything about Jeremiah. He knew what he would look like, the color of his hair, the form of his face. He knew his favorite color, favorite food. He saw the uniqueness of his personality. He knew his fears. He knew those things that he would be most passionate about. God knew all the words he would speak before he ever said one of them. He saw him in the womb, wove his body together, marked the day he would be born and the day he would enter heaven and everything in between. This scripture paints a vivid picture that what is in the womb is life indeed. I've got a couple other scriptures I want you to turn to. They're in the New Testament. I want you to see, first of all, Matthew, the first chapter. In verse 20, this is spoken of to Joseph about the person in Mary's womb. Matthew 1:20, but when he considered this, that is, Joseph had considered not marrying Mary, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who's been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. The child conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. This is a child, it's a person. Look over to, you're at Matthew, just a couple pages over to the Gospel of Luke. Some fascinating truths here about the womb. Luke, the first chapter, verse 15. This is a word from the angel to Zechariah concerning his wife Elizabeth, and that she is now pregnant. And he speaks this in verse 15. He will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. While still in the womb, God's going to minister to this young one. He will be filled while in that womb. And look at verse 44. This is when Mary goes and visits Elizabeth. They are relatives. They're both pregnant at this time. Behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby, this is Elizabeth speaking, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. That would be John the Baptist. Full of the Holy Spirit in the womb. Mary carrying the Savior of the world. His response, John's in the womb, is that of leaping. He's excited about the Savior. There are a lot of lies thrown out there, and I really do feel deeply for those individuals who have chosen to abort a child. And I want you to know that this is not, I'm not just speaking to the church thinking this isn't about us at all. It is. I read in the past week that 1 in 3 women who attend church have had abortions. I know from a fact that at times individuals who are in churches, have struggled to know what to do when there was an unplanned pregnancy or perhaps a pregnancy in the family where an individual is not married. In that case, we need to allow that one to come and have a life. And adoption is a great option if that needs to be considered. But I feel for those because I believe they've bought a lie. It's a crisis time in their life for many. You're thinking about, well, how am I going to take care of this one? What does my future hold? And they're listening, and there's a voice out there that says, you know, this is nothing. You know, you can't provide. It's, you know, abortion is a viable option. It is not. And I want you to know abortion is taking the life of a person. Jeremiah was formed by God in the womb. God knew him. He made him. He designed him. Not only that, but he was consecrated or set apart for God before birth. He says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. Before birth, God knows all things. And what he's saying here is that I saw you in eternity past. Before you knew, you were you. Before your mom and dad had a thought toward you, I knew you, and I had a plan for you, and I had a plan and a purpose. It was before Jeremiah was born, God had set him apart. Some translations read, sanctified, consecrated is what I have, but God did this, and he set him apart for a purpose. There were many people who needed to hear from heaven, at this point in time, when Jeremiah was born, and God had a plan for him, he was going to be God's spokesman on earth. There were people that needed to hear, and Jeremiah would be that guy. Similarly, the Apostle Paul wrote in like fashion, he said in Galatians 1, 15 and 16, that God had set him apart from the womb for ministry. God had a plan. And abortion disrupts that plan and takes that plan away and that opportunity for that individual to be used powerfully by God. God was Jeremiah was consecrated by God, set apart. God's telling him that. He wants him to know that. To kill the unborn is to exterminate the plans that God has for a person. He wants him to know also that he was chosen by God. Look at the last part of that verse. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. I've appointed you a prophet to the nations. He was chosen by God to speak for God, for him. A specific calling is what God had on his life. He would be the one who proclaimed the revelation of God to the nations, to Israel, and to those around. It would be one fulfilled by Jeremiah with great difficulty, but he ministered to those who hated him, who hated his message, who wanted to kill him, in that God protected him. But Jeremiah was faithful, and there was a nation who needed to hear what God had declared. Jeremiah was that man. He was divinely set apart to be the voice of God, for God, to man, to speak to man. He was chosen to speak the truth to his generation. There were those who walked the streets of Jerusalem who needed a witness, and Jeremiah was that man. His message was not a popular message at all, but it was right. And he stood alone speaking the truth to kings and to paupers alike. You know, man is for the most part unknowingly desperate to hear the word of the Lord. God calls us to witness, to verbally speak to his fame and glory to a lost and dying world. That child that is aborted will never have that great privilege on earth to speak to those for whom Christ died. Their voices will not be heard. It's part of the reality of what is occurring every day in this land. I believe abortion has robbed America of individuals who are gifted. Abortion has taken away from us the next generation of godly mothers, of godly fathers, of godly teachers, godly auto workers, godly public servants, politicians, perhaps an outstanding president. It may be that God had set apart, think about this, it may be that God had set apart for us in the United States a great man who would have spoken the word to us and he would have instigated a revival that we so desperately need but was aborted. Maybe it was someone like Billy Graham. That's what abortion does. Abortion cuts off the plans that God has for those whom he has chosen to be salt and light in the world. It is not good for men or women. There are those today that are living with the guilt and grief daily of a decision they made in a crisis, when they were in crisis, and they live with regret. Women and men, I believe, alike, pressured to have abortions, have them paid for, not thinking it through very well. There's a big difference between when you're 18 and 25 years old and when you're 50 years old and you're thinking in maturity. I'm not excusing it, but I believe that what is happening in this land is a terrible thing, and it's taken advantage of individuals. We now are a nation who have no fear of God, no respect for life. That's who we are. It's a reality of what we face. But you know what? We can't stay there, and we must do something. We must do all we can. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you this right from my heart. There are times I feel absolutely helpless and hopeless about this situation in our land. There have been some progress made. I believe the tide has turned some. And even though there are around 3,500 children that will be lost today if I can make a difference in someone's life, that can make a decision about that one, that is making a difference. So there are times I feel hopeless. There are times I am very, very angry about what is occurring in our nation and in the church in this regard. Well, what can be done? I want to start with the family. I want to start with parents. Educate. Teach your children how God views the unborn. If you don't, the world will teach them something else. So you and I need to do that. Teach them about life. I have this vivid memory of mine that goes back to when one of our boys was like through the third or fourth grade. He came home from school one day and he said to me, "Dad, they were mentioning a word in school today. It was abortion. What is abortion? What is abortion?" So what are you going to do? I explained it to him and walked it through the best I could. And I remember his response to me. He looked up at me and said, "Dad, why would anyone do such a thing?" Well, we got to start there. They need to know the truth about how God sees life in the womb, that it is life. This is a child. This is a soul, an eternal being. This is sacred. And we have no right to intervene and to snuff out a life. Educate your children. Grandparents, you too. If you're here and you're not a parent, but you have influence, do what you can with some younger person, those around you. So instruct those in your care and in your realm of influence the truth about what it is. Let's speak to it. And I want to say this too, as believers. I believe we have a stewardship by God to impact our culture. Vote pro-life in the ballot box. We have to. Do you know what happened last presidential election? This is shameful to the church. Over 6 million who would name the name of Christ voted for a president who is for the redefining of biblical marriage and the taking of the unborn, he's the only president to address Planned Parenthood personally and invoked a blessing on Planned Parenthood. That is a shame to the body of Christ. That never should be. We need to vote pro-life. And I've done this lately, and I want you to do this. I want you to think about this. Contact those in the Senate and Congress at our state and federal level. Send them a note respectfully saying, "This is who I am. This is where I am. Would you consider defunding Planned Parenthood, the biggest abortion provider in this land? Would you consider that? I don't want my tax dollars going for that." They're probably going to rate you back and say, "Well, the tax dollars don't go for abortions, something else." It's all one the same. It's a wash. But do it. I felt a lot better when I did that. Contacted the state reps and those within our nation at the national level as well. But do it. I want to encourage you to do it. And then here it is, a couple other things. You had one earlier today. There's a crisis pregnancy center in Escanaba. You have an opportunity to make a difference in our community and giving and volunteering or whatever in that way. Do it. And I'm gonna in your bulletin, we didn't have much time, so Don, I didn't want you to give all those announcements. But there is in our bulletin, there's this life chain, we've mentioned it, it's going on in Escanaba next week. We're to meet in the back of the Shopko parking lot at 1:15. What's happening at 1:15 next Sunday? It'll be a football game. Half of you are going to want to watch. I don't know if they both play, both those teams. I don't know. And not only that, 1:15, you're going to have to hustle. I don't know how you're going to get lunch. Who cares? Get there. We'll hold signs. We'll stand out on the main street. It's not an in-your-face protest. We're standing for life. Let the community know that. You know, we need as believers to be out there. The time for setting aside and let someone else do it is gone. We've got to do that. So I will be there next Sunday. I don't know if I'd have had lunch or not. I can sacrifice a bit here. Probably wouldn't hurt me at all if I didn't eat lunch. But I'll be there, and I hope you will too. We need to pray. We need to do all we can. I want to finish with this, though. You may be here today, and you're looking back, and there is deep regret in your life because of a decision you either made or helped someone else make. I want you to know something. The devil will hound you with that to your grave. Jesus Christ came and died for those who have been involved in providing abortions, supporting that. He came and died for that sin. And he offers to you today forgiveness. If you don't know him as Savior, I'd ask you today to consider making a choice to trust him as your personal Savior. He will forgive you. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The devil's had you long enough. Long enough. It's time to put this behind you. If you're a believer here today, you need to get before God, call it what it is. Because it is a sinful choice, because it's a sin, Jesus bore that sin in his body on the cross. He paid for that. Get it behind you. Deal with it. Have that forgiveness. God would embrace you today and say, I love you, I forgive you, and move on with life. God will use that, I believe, in your life if you respond as you should in the lives of others. Let's not, you know, and as families, let's teach what is right here. Even though there may be hardship that comes with an unplanned pregnancy or something like that, God's grace, the same grace that saved us, will get us through. He'll carry us through. Let's stand for life. Let's do that. Let's be involved where we can and make a difference one at a time. Okay, if you look at it nationally, it is so discouraging. But one at a time, we can make a difference. That's what God calls us to shine his light in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We'll do that, won't we? Let's pray. Loving Father, we have the church as a whole, Father, and our nation has been touched by this unspeakable evil. It's just too big for us to get our minds around, to think of millions upon millions that should have had an opportunity for life. They're gone, disposed of. No names, no voices, no words. Help us, Father, to do what we need to do. It'll be uncomfortable at times. Help us to stand for life. Help us to support those that do the same. And I pray, Father, that we'll be educating those around us and speaking to what exactly is in the womb and how you see it and what you're doing there. Forgive us, Father, where it's needed. Encourage us as well. Help us to value, to put the value on that which is so sacred and eternal, this living soul in the womb, as you do. Give us boldness. Father, next Sunday, there'll be a lot of things that we think about we could do or would want to do instead of maybe making a sacrifice and standing for life. I pray you'll move your people to do just that. Move them to right those that have influence and make laws and have that power. Help us to do so respectfully, but help us to do so. Bless this body, Lord. May Bark River be different because of us. For your name's sake, we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.